decisions made by the Taney County Planning Commission. The Board of Adjustment meeting is governed by the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Public hearings are held on each request or appeal which is filed with the Taney County Planning Commission. I would like at this time to place the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A. The staff report for each case as Exhibit B. The staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, as Exhibit C. And the Board of Adjustment bylaws as Exhibit D for all cases to be heard at the public hearing. The staff report for each request will be read by the board, followed by a video and any questions for staff. If you would like to comment, you must sign the sheet, which is provided at the front of the room. Registration for comment will cease before the hearing begins. When it's your opportunity for comment, your name will be called. Please walk to the podium at the front of the room to address the board. All comments and questions are to be addressed to the board and not to anyone in the audience. All speakers who are not a party to the case shall be limited to 5 minutes unless additional time is granted by the chairperson. Anyone who wishes to speak either for or against any case to be heard today must be sworn in.
Thank you. And Bob, would you give us the governing statutes? Right over there, ma'am.
The Board of Adjustment shall have the following powers, and it shall be its duty. One, to hear and decide appeals where it is alleged there is an error of law in any order, requirement, decision, or determination made by an administrative official in the enforcement of the county zoning regulations. Two, to hear and decide all matters referred to it or which it is required to determine under the zoning regulations adopted by the county commission as herein provided. Three, where by any reason of exceptional narrowness, shallowness, shape or topography, or other extraordinary or exceptional situation or condition of a specific piece of property, the strict application of any regulation adopted under sections 64.845 to 64.880 would result in peculiar or exceptional difficulties to or exceptional and demonstrable undue hardship upon the owner of the property as an unreasonable deprivation of use, as distinguished from the mere grant of a privilege to authorize upon an appeal relating to the property. A variance from the strict application so as to relieve the demonstrable difficulties or hardships, provided the relief can be granted without substantial detriment to the public good and without substantially impairing the intent, purpose, and integrity of the zone plan as embodied in the zoning regulations and map. In exercising the above powers, the board may reverse or affirm wholly or partly, or may modify the order, requirement, decision, or determination appealed from, and may take such order, requirement, decision, or determination as ought to be made, and to that end shall have all powers of the officer from whom the appeal is taken.
Thank you very much. We have three cases tonight. The first one is Jess and Connie Coker. And would you give us a staff report, Mr. Coxey?
This is the Taney County Board of Adjustment staff report for Jess and Connie Coker, dated October 21st, 2009, case number 09-11. This is the public hearing for Jess and Connie Coker in the Oliver Township, Section 24, Township 22, Range 22. The applicants are requesting a variance from Table 1 in the Taney County Development Guidance Code. History is that the Planning Commission approved Branson Vista Condominiums, and the Board of Adjustment approved a setback variance off of 1074 Iowa Colony Road. Currently, this is a condominium style of ownership with the land held in common. The applicants are requesting what they would term a zero lot line to allow each half of the duplex to have whole ownership of their half of the building. General description, the subject property contains 0.99 acres and is located off of Iowa Colony Road. The adjoining properties to the request consist of residential, and of course right across the street you have another development, Sterling Estates, which is a duplex condominium type of development also. Currently, the site consists of four buildings that have been completed. If the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves this variance, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the board. There's an approval for, actually in doing this, there's, as I've put in your packet, there's several variances that have to be requested and may be able to be met, but approval for variance from the 8,000 square foot lot size, a variance from the road frontage requirements, variance from the setback requirements, and then all other provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code must be met, and the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. Let's stop right there, Dan. I believe you, Mr. Clemenson, you and I have been on site out here before in the past when the variance request was being ordered. This site is actually quite a bit larger site, but when you bring up this particular property number at this time, it will bring up this half of the duplex. Here's the other half of a duplex. And then this is the second duplex that's out there that are constructed. When we have condominium style of ownership, and the as the development progresses, when they finish up a duplex or something of that sort, they will bring that in and plat that particular part of that development and usually some of the land that's around it. That's how this lot, this 0.99 acres, is created. The original approval included, I think, six more buildings, if I'm not mistaken. I can get that information for you here in just a second, to be platted out into this area here. If you'll remember, Mr. Lake came through, got approval from the Taney County Planning to put this condominium development out here. Had some health issues and some other things like that. The project ended up going into either a tax settlement or a bankruptcy court, and then was bought by Barth Properties out of that settlement there. Mr. Barth then completed the two buildings that were out there, platted them, as you see platted here, and then sold off those, I believe all four of the, you know, the units that were available out there at that time. So this is off of Iowa Colony. Again, this is the Sterling Estates that we mentioned earlier here. And then this is the property in question. So going to the next one there. Each one of these duplexes evidently have their own property ID number, as they would in a condominium. This is kind of how that breaks up. And then this is the rest of the lot that was involved in the original approval of what's going on up there. Go ahead. Go back one for me, Dan, real quick. There was a variance granted by this board, and I don't remember if you guys were actually sitting on there at this time. I believe you were. It had to do with this building in the setback there. So I wanted you to be aware that was there. But these are currently, with that variance, legally conforming units that's sitting there. Okay, Dan. These are just the pictures of the road out front. This is standing in front of the. This is the duplex down, the furthest one down that you saw. Of course, this is the one that Mr. Coker owns half of this one here. So, and again, the Iowa Colony Road. Yeah, the unit that they actually have as your request here. I believe this request is for all of these condominiums. It was put in by Mr. Coker, but it is for all four of the units in the two buildings here. Okay, and we've got a video for you. And it'll show you basically the same things that we're going to see here, but not live on that yet. Yeah. This is the computer program. It's not the filming or anything like that. It is something that IS, I believe, is supposed to be working on to get this memory fixed so that we can do this. But this is the building that's actually on your application. That would be the second building, of course. And it doesn't change much, does it? I believe we're going to walk down to the back side of this. I can't remember if we did or not. I think we walked down to the back side of this so that you can see the rest of the property down for those of you that haven't been out there. Hopefully this won't make any of you sick.
You sure that's the computer?
Yeah. Yes, indeed. So I just wanted to see that, and that's, boy, that's the computer
that's
too.
That's a good shot.
So, that's good. So. I think that was Benita's foot.
Yeah.
We do get the gist of this. For those that would like to speak, I've got Eddie Wolf signed up as either one of Jess or Connie Coker if present. All right.
Dave, I'm here to represent them.
All right. Are they not wanting to speak?
They wanted me to come to represent as well. I should want to talk to them. I'm sure they'll talk to you.
Sure.
All right. Well, Eddie, would you like to stand? I'll swear you in. Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God.
Yes.
Thank you.
First thing here, I got some drawings here to show you the buildings and the proposed lot sizes. My name's Eddie Wolf. I'm here to represent the homeowners here of the four units out there. As Eddie explained there, this property's kind of got a lot of history with Bob Blake starting it, getting Division III permits, starting the two buildings, got them partially complete, and then the bank repossessed them. Ken Barth bought the properties, finished the buildings out. Then we came in to plat the buildings and found out that one of them had a problem with a setback along the county road on Iowa Calling. And we came to the board in 2008 and got a variance for that, and it was granted. And it's recorded their courthouse. What's happened out there, everything meets Division III code that's out there presently, platted and everything like that. And they don't have a problem with that. What we've run into out there is a lot of these people got banknotes when they bought the condominiums. And now when they need to refinance, they can't get it. They won't loan on condominiums. One of the homeowners there, property appraised at $275,000, and his bank notes $114,000, and they won't loan him the money. So basically what we're asking for this is to turn it into do away with the condominium development, because Ken Barth no longer is going to build any more of the buildings behind. He's got the property up for sale. And so this would be, all the buildings would be involved in the association. And on the report there that Eddie gave, he said we need a variance for the lot size for single family. We don't. We meet or exceed that square footage. They'd run anywhere from the smallest one's 8,569 square feet all the way up to 15,362 square feet would be the proposed lot sizes. The frontage on the road, we meet all those requirements per the single family code. All the buildings meet the setbacks off of with the one variance, and the other building meets it with the back setbacks and everything. So we're meeting all of the single family code in there except for where we go through the center of the buildings on the common wall split as they're presently split on the condominium plat between as ownership. The only thing this would change is if we're allowed to do it would be that they would own the property themselves there underneath the house and to the side for the lots, instead of having it all in common in an association. And what they like to do is to turn it into a single family if the variance is granted, and put a set of restrictions on it to where they can protect themselves in their, you know, and file it correctly as a single family plat. And that's, and the, you know, the hardship they're having is that they just can't get financing, period. And it's really causing a problem. It's just not them, it's all across the county, and Taney and Stone both. It's happening all over. You just can't sell them. If you look at the market today, they're around Branson and the condominiums. the value of those units have went down dramatically because you can't get financing. And, you know, then every homeowner involved here is sitting right there, and all of them in agreement and everything to try to dissolve this condominium and turn it into a single family.
Any questions anybody would have at this time?
I got one.
Bob?
You talked about a problem splitting the buildings?
No, there's no problem. In the Taney County Code does not allow for a common wall split on a building. It's not in the code. And the only time I know of in the code that's been granted was over at Shoals Bend. Is that correct, Eddie?
Cornerstone.
At Cornerstone. It was granted there by the Board of Adjustments to do those that way. And that's the only ones I know of. Now, in other counties and cities I work in, that's in the code. It just never has been adopted by Taney County as being able to do it. That's why we've got so many condominiums, is because we can't plat them any other way.
Currently, our code book states if you want to build a duplex by itself, 3 acre minimum, and you have to own both sides. You can't sell half of somebody, and that's why we have the condominium style of ownership that allows them to sell half of a duplex to one person and half to another person. So
there's one other one, Eddie, that was approved by the Taney County Board, is the Woodlands that was done. And it was approved by the board in there to build duplexes, and those are platted as common walls. That's the only two I can think of that.
And I don't know if that was done before I got here.
It was.
The only one I'm familiar of is the lady.
That project there is off of Fall Creek Road on the old Snaden property. I know Dave's probably familiar with it, but that's how all of those are done in there. They're done by splits down common walls.
And this board, I believe, was different with the exception of you, Mr. Clemenson, when the Shoals Bend property thing came before us. I would ask one question here if I could.
Yes, Eddie.
I know Mr. Barth has this property up for sale. My guess is even though he may say he has no intention of building on this property again, if he sells it to someone else, they have the right to come in and build the rest of these condominiums on that property. And I don't know, without Mr. Barth being present and ready to willingly rescind this approval, our ability to take that away from him. So I don't know if that should play into your decision. From my point of view, that he's promised that he's not going to build on that doesn't mean that it won't be built on. And currently, there is an approval. If they came in to pull permits on that, we would have to issue them. And it is a total of 16 units, eight buildings, 16 units. So they feasibly could build another six buildings put out there.
Eddie, to help my slow brain, could you show me what the property lines are for the current complex?
What we have platted right now, if this black line here,
uh-huh,
comes down here, and around.
Okay,
it is 0.99 acres, and I didn't have the survey that you have in front of you. I don't think I've had that, so that's why I told you to be aware that we may have to do street frontages and that kind of
thing. Is that just for the current four?
Yes.
That is how they platted for those four units, yes, sir. The total property approved for this, give me just a second, was 8.4 acres is the total size of the property that was approved for the 16 units.
And it was, everything was done all at one time. So that if we're being requested to split out away from an approval to a landowner?
The property is already, this property here is what is in the association at this time. The rest of the property is not in the association.
Right. Barth doesn't own this part of the property.
No. No, these are owned by individuals.
Right.
There's the way the condominium, the whole property is 8 acres and something.
Right.
So when these were platted, there was legal descriptions written for the perimeter of these four buildings. And that is put into the home, to the condominium association as common ground. The rest of the property is not in the association. It's future development in the declarations.
And normally,
And what documents run with the land at this point?
Right now, the declarations of the condominium are the governing instrument on the property.
And that is only for the four units?
That's correct. There's no declarations filed on the remaining part of the property.
What normally happens, that's why I mentioned earlier, what normally happens is before this plat is filed, there's a line on the plat that says the declarations for this have been filed, and then it gives the booking page. And then the developer will come in and plat that portion and part of the property that's going to be held in common so that they can go ahead and sell these off and everything and then move into his next phase and everything like that. A lot of times you'll see, or most of the times you'll see the whole property will be owned by the development group or whatever the case mm-hmm. might be. Again, this was bought out of some kind of a bankruptcy or tax hearing. Mr. Lake at that particular time had not set up any declarations or anything like that because he had not tried to plat anything. He wasn't finished with his buildings. So what you normally see is if this was going to be built out, they put in the next building and then that plat would come down and maybe join this plat. And when it was all said and done, the land that was going to be held in common would encompass this whole 8 acres or whatever the case might be. If you hover, Dan, hover over that just the lot there, that one, yeah, and you'll see this is the Ransom Vista Condos Association, and then move out to Mr. Barth's property there, Dan.
Okay.
And then this is the Barth Farms who bought it out of.
Okay.
And then as you hover over each half of this, it'll tell you who currently owns that now. So.
So the articles of incorporation as well as the declaration is just for those four units?
Yes.
Yes, sir. That is all that exists out there right now. And now, a lot of time, I haven't read these declarations, so I don't really know how they exist or anything like that, but a lot of times I don't know if they're in compliance with them or not in compliance with them or anything like that. I don't know. We don't enforce that. There is some state statutes requiring that they have these declarations in place and everything before they have this type of building, recorded and that kind of thing. So it's not uncommon, though, for a developer to kind of relinquish all of his responsibilities to just a few, and a lot of times they don't even know that they are the responsible parties.
So Barth has no contact with the association at all?
I don't.
100% sold, then the developer is normally out of it.
Right, or at some percentage anyway, yeah.
The only thing that Barth's got in the declarations, he's got the declarant rights. And the declarant rights are usually kept by the developer until the project's finished, because that's the right to go in and put utilities in, and it's a lot of different things covered in the declarations. But like I said before, Barth does not have no plans on building in there himself. He's trying to sell the property, the remaining part of the property. If somebody else wants to build on it, that's up to them.
They can come in and build a condominium.
But I don't know when the Division 3 permit would expire on that.
When they get into this situation where they've got a lot of the work kind of done, they're definitely not halfway.
Mm-hmm.
It would probably expire. Normally, when we hit 50%, and depending on that, would be infrastructure. Now they've got buildings and everything up, so they would probably, at the very least, whoever would do that would need to come back before the board for some kind of a renewal. Not to say they wouldn't grant it, or even make them bring it back through for a total rehearing. But it's kind of the position of the, it just depends. They might rehear that and grant it. They might not. It might come before you people, as you saw the one a few months ago where they denied it, and basically were told by the attorneys that this had been previously approved for this, and therefore really didn't have the right not to grant it.
Yeah. You know, I want to make clear, too, all the homeowners are satisfied out here and everything. It's just the only problem is they can't get financing for their properties.
We just want to split along the common wall where they can call it theirs.
On your sewer utility or sewer hookups, does each unit have its own hookup, or is it one hookup shared, each unit shared by one hookup?
I think there's a grinder pump on the units.
On each unit or one grinder
It is
pump?
County sewer.
Yeah, there's a grinder pump on each unit.
Per unit?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that the sewer district would charge this as hookups for one per side.
I have a couple concerns. One is that obviously bank financing was approved as per your request, Mr. Coker, that you initially financed the property. Mm-hmm. Lending policies do change. I understand that. And trying to refinance it might be a problem, but I'm not sure that if you've exhausted all realms of possibilities of contacting all the lenders in the area, that would not have a change in lending policy to the extent that it would not allow any refinancing. That I don't know. But obviously you all did have the ability to obtain financing when you first bought the property. Secondly, the legal constraints on this is enormous by the fact that you have to have an attorney redraw or make some declaration to the fact that the condominium declarations are null and void, and have a new survey on each one of these tracks to come up with a legal description for each one. And so those are some of my concerns. And I don't know how exhaustive they did on the refinancing, or if that's really important. Do they still have the financing in place that they originally had it financed for?
I'm the lender, and I'm in the mortgage business and have been for 10 years. And when we purchased ours...
I'm sorry, what's your name, ma'am?
Connie Coker.
Okay, Connie, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Do they need
anyway, when I got the financing on it, it was over a year ago. And since then, the laws have tightened up quite a bit on lending. And it's my understanding, I didn't do the loans on the other three. I believe one of them paid cash, and the other two... did have a problem getting their financing and had to go to, I know one had to go to a local bank.
Pardon me just a second. Okay. David, we need her to come up here because we're broadcasting.
Okay.
I'm sorry. And I'll have to swear you in also, Connie. Would you raise your right hand? You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, the love of God. Thank you.
I am a mortgage lender and have been for about 15 years. And when we purchased the property, it was over a year ago, and the financing was a little bit different than it is currently. I believe the property next to mine, he paid cash, so financing was not an issue. I do know that the other two properties, I believe they were having a bit of a problem getting their financing and were limited to go to local banks where they had a hard, you can't get a 30-year fixed anymore on some of these condos. They're going to limit you to a three-year ARM or a five-year ARM or something like that where you're going to have to roll it over later if you can. And we were refinancing the one that I was in about 2 months ago, and I was totally turned down by my own company because of the fact that it was a condominium and the way that the association is put together, since everything has changed, we weren't able to get our financing because of that.
Did you try to find it at other banks or other lending institutions?
Mm-hmm. My company is probably the 19th largest in the country. And what they do is, the name of my company is Prime Lending. Once we close a loan, we sell to Wells Fargo, Citi, Chase, those banks, and they wouldn't take it. So at that point, you have to go to a local bank here in Branson that will not do a 30-year fixed on condominiums. They will do short-term ARMs, which makes it difficult if you want to try to do a, you know, somebody wants to have a 30-year fixed. If you do a short-term ARM, that's fine for 3 years, but then what do you have to do when you want to refinance it, you know, when your three-year ARM comes to term?
Is this financing situation the same for any condominium in?
Mm-hmm. They've made it, Fannie and Freddie have really made it difficult on the condominium, and that's why I've done a lot of business with condos in this area in the past, because it's Branson is a large second home market. So a lot of these condos are purchased for vacation homes or second homes. You can no longer get mortgage insurance on second homes, so everybody's forced to put 20% down. So a lot of the condos in here, the investors that own the condos, they're having to do the financing for their buyers that are coming in to purchase. So it's a Fannie Freddie thing that have made it just a little bit more difficult for condominiums. And that was the real reason that, you know, that we were wanting to meet with you tonight, only because of that, because it is a little bit difficult now.
But you could still get 15-year financing, 20-year financing?
Not now. Not now.
Everything's adjustable, right?
Right. Not now. Mm-hmm. And as far as I know your other concern on dealing with an attorney and changing everything, we've already talked with an attorney that drew these documents, and he's willing to work with us on that. If there's a decision that's reached, he'll work with us on that. So we covered our base there too, just to make sure we were able to do that if we were able to get this approved.
Eddie, how would this sit with the Planning and Zoning Commission, since they actually approved the concept, and you know, this is I guess it's a variance request based upon maybe hardship. I'm not sure, but if the financing really qualifies as a hardship, but.
And hearing what I'm hearing, it would almost behoove me to tell the commission we probably shouldn't approve any more condominium projects. However, the only provisions that we have to do multifamily units is under that condominium style of ownership. They cannot deviate from their rules, of course, and that's why this is in front of you. But you know, I can ask them and give you an update on that in the future. I know if you came before them today asking to do this and have it as single family ownership on each side, they would say no, simply because they cannot approve that kind of a thing. You know, these are duplexes. I understand that. I've got to wonder what's happening to people that are in fourplexes, eightplexes, you know, 32-unit buildings and everything like that. You know, what they're doing. And I don't. This is a little different scenario, but and I don't know how you would do it. But if you have a fourplex that's one level, one unit, you know, can you split that up like that? You know, it gets into a lot of variances and everything like that. But something that probably needs to be addressed in our code book. It's not at the present time, and you know that's why it's done in this manner. So,
one thing about the fourplexes, when I've done loans on fourplexes, generally speaking, you'll have an investor that'll buy a fourplex with the sole intentions of renting out all four of them. And in a case like that, he owns the whole building and he's just leasing them. I haven't run into a situation where someone's buying just one.
Sycamore Ridge has a lot of fourplexes that have individual ownership.
Individual.
I've got a lot of.
Yeah, I haven't run into that. So
this is the same situation you have out at Branson Creek. And I don't know how that's affecting them, but I saw you nodding your head and everything when she was talking. So,
financing right now on anything that's got a condominium is—it's
very, very difficult. It's very difficult. And I also had one of the villas at Branson Creek, and It was a little, I don't know how we, that was a little bit different. I purchased that one a couple of years ago, and that one worked out pretty well. But, you know, things have tightened up in the past year on condominiums, which is a shame because, I mean, it, you know.
And these are going to be the family dwelling. They're not going to rent them out.
Well, I do have, I bought it solely for my mother to live in. In fact, you probably saw her name on there. And she lived in there until just a couple of months ago, and then I moved her into an assisted living. So I do have someone living in there now that's paying rent.
So when you approach through your lender and everything, and you call this a primary, your primary residence?
When I was refinancing it with my mother living there, then it was a single family that she lived in. Since then, she's not now. So if this works, I will probably try to refinance it, take her name off of it because she really doesn't live there anymore, and refinance it as an investment property because I don't live in it. I lease it out because I live here. I live in Blue Eye. So it was purchased for her.
I know that they tightened it all up and everything, but there was some places that was, as long as it's a primary residence that you receive your mail there, you live there.
Exactly.
There's still financing available that way.
But, right. Right. Now, and as far as, you know, refinancing it at this point as an investor, I can't do that because that would be even more difficult as an investment condo. Because right now it was purchased as an owner-occupied because I did have my mother living in there.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Could you bring up in the code the reasons to allow and disallow granting a variance?
You just read it.
That's in your bylaws.
Yeah.
That you just read. It's not in my code book.
Okay, I thought there was a section in the code that...
No, because our code cannot, our planning code, they cannot grant variances from that. It just says if a variance is needed or something like that, it does come to the Board of Adjustment. So there's appeals in here. Dan, if you bring up that section in our code book that talks about the Board of Adjustment, that may be what he's referring to.
Might be a definition of a hardship.
But it does not specifically state, other than, you know, that you can go for an appeal or a variance request.
Somewhere there's a section that talks about the reasons for granting variances.
If I could read from the statutes, Bob, that you just read, it says, where by reason of exceptional narrowness, shallowness, shape, or topography, or other extraordinary or exceptional situation or condition of a specific piece of property, the strict application of any regulation adopted under these sections would result in peculiar and exceptional difficulties. But it also goes on to say, as an unreasonable deprivation of use as distinguished from the mere grant of a privilege to authorize. It doesn't say anything about this particular case unless you feel that the financing hardship.
There's something in there that talks about the finance as a reason or not reason. That's what I was looking for.
Says the Board of Adjustment shall not issue any variance in any case where it cannot be demonstrated that the property can be developed for use that does not require variance, or where the variance could cause substantial detriment to the public good. The unnecessary hardship standard says the record must show the land in question cannot yield a reasonable return if used only for the purpose allowed by the regulation. Unique character of the property is determinative. Let's see. And those are out of state statutes is what that's out of. It says requirements, all form requirements must be met. Applicants must suffer undue hardship in carrying out the strict letter of the law. Applicant must prove that relief is necessary because of unique character of the property. Variance may not destroy, it says preservation plan here, but granting of variance will result in substantial justice for all.
And I really don't hear from those words that there's anything to do with whether one's going to get financing or not as being a hardship.
Did you find, I think it's page 21, Dan, as what I was referring to is where I'm trying to get to, see if that's... Yes, sir. I wanted to see out of our development guidance code.
I have another point in particular.
I don't think I've ever seen anything in the code book that mentions anything about financing.
It says variances as provided in State Statute 64870. Any absolute policy may be varied for a specific parcel of property where due to the exceptional narrowness, which is what you just read, I believe, Mr. Clemenson, caused a rejection of their application. The Board of Adjustment shall not issue a variance in any case where it can be demonstrated that the property can be developed for use that does not require variance or where the variance would cause substantial detriment to the public. The granting of a variance for a specific project, condition, or situation does not constitute or establish either implicitly or explicitly legal precedence.
Pardon me, Eddie, which paragraph are you reading?
I'm on and, number 7.
Seven,
yeah, at the top. Where did you just pass it?
6-5.
And that's the note there that I just finished reading, the granting. The rest of it deals with appeals once a decision's been made by. This is a variance request and not an appeal, so I didn't read that section for you. But I don't know if that's what you were looking for, but I think that's... Dan, you might type in at the top.
I think I know what you're after.
Just do not duplex, but a board of adjustment or appeal, or no, it'd be variance. Excuse me. You might type.
Is that in the guidelines from the state?
V-A-R-I-A-N-C-E.
Yeah, V-A-R-I-A-N-C-E. And let's see where it takes us. That's sign for that. Let me just see this for a second. Any required variance is called variance. Let's go where any provision has been exposed to restrictions that differ from those imposing the law of restrictions. You can, but that's going to be put you back in Section 7, I believe, Dan. If in the opinion of the county court, any of the above Taney County road, no, that's road standards. So that's...
I don't see anything on definition of hardship.
No, and you won't. Yeah, you definitely wouldn't see that in this book because they don't deal with that. They are bound to.
See, I'm remembering back to something that you gave us maybe 3 months ago, some state guidelines. And my concern is here that we're not going to be setting a precedent that we do not have the authority to set.
I think I know what you're referring to. I can't remember what the case was, but they didn't have proof to us that there was any type of hardship. They were just saying, look, we're in a hard place. And I can't remember who it was, but they didn't bring any proof to show us that there was any kind of reason that they were asking for the variance. But I don't remember anything that stated in verbiage what a hardship is.
What it is on that 100-year floodplain.
That's where it was.
Okay. You got the chair, did you?
Any questions, concerns?
I don't know. I'll sit over here and try to roll this back and forth through my head. I don't see a guidance from our code book that we need that would make me feel comfortable with it.
Well, I know times are tough and loan policies and lending policies change as the economic conditions change, but they also change backwards in a state of good economy. So to say that this is going to be forever the case, I don't think we can actually say that that's the case for the financing part of it. And, you know, if somebody wanted to get a three-year ARM or a five-year ARM, the way the economy is going now, the interest rates are probably aren't going to be much different in 5 years as it is right now. Just depends on the intent, I imagine. Does somebody have a sense to make a motion to grant or deny the variance request?
I guess my feeling is I'm uncomfortable with it, since the only reason they want to make the change is financial, which is personal gain.
Can I say something else?
Not at this time. No. Unless you want to hear it.
If she has something worthwhile, I think we should hear it.
All right.
Okay. The situation on the condominium is you own the inside of your building. You don't own the outside or the outside land.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, some of the people that purchased the property didn't realize that at the time. So they thought they truly thought they were purchasing their building at the time that they bought it. We were required to get our own insurance on our building. So we are now treating our building as if we own it anyway, because of what was required at the time that we closed. So we have insurance on the whole thing, but it really, we don't even own it. We just own the inside walls. So that's where I think some of the confusion came in. And I realized that the financing may be an issue, but what is concerning is if at some point someone did have to sell it, you're going to have a very difficult time selling it, because whoever might want to buy it would have a hard time trying to get financing. But it still goes back to the way that our insurance and our declarations are set up and that sort of thing.
The justification for request, the only thing on here is every paragraph touches on we need to refinance. And that seems like that is the main reason, according to this, why are we, I mean, for the variance.
Connie, you say that the, what happens to the exterior part of the building?
That's a concern. That truly is a concern, because
don't your declarations of the condominium speak to that?
Well, the situation is, since there's just four units, once we purchased them from Mr. Barth, there really isn't an association per se that has come together to handle this, because when we purchased it, like I said, everybody kind of thought they were buying their side of the building. So we got our own insurance in place. We all take care of our own taxes. We all handle our properties as if we own it. Since we really only own the inside, the reason that my financing was turned down when I wanted to refinance it is because they were telling me that if something happened, then you are in a problem situation, because we don't have an association that's handling the roof or the outside or anything like that.
Wouldn't you four be the association?
I think.
Yeah.
And does Mr. Barth still have any? I mean,
no.
He's done.
Well,
I don't know.
Well, no, he's not. He's just
the declarations.
The request.
The declarations require association to pay dues. I mean, the owners to pay dues to the association. They have not formed an association, as the declarations say at this point. They're in violation of them. Because the association is what does the upkeep of the outside of the building. That's why you pay assessments to it. It's the same everywhere.
Is there anything? Mr. Barth supports our request for this change, also plans to sell the land. Is there anything that you have from him that says he supports this, rather than just what's
typed? Not other than word of mouth. He didn't write anything down. I know Ken very well, and because he'll have to releases declarant rights for the condominium to be dissolved with if this is granted to do the split on these properties, because that Ransom Vista would no longer be their condominium. It'd be completely dissolved. Declarations and everything, there'd have to be a new subdivision plat filed that creates it into lots with a new set of restrictions where there'd be a homeowners association there, but there's nothing to upkeep because they access off the county road, so there's no streets or anything or water lines or sewer lines. Everything is there, and there's no assessment. They mow their own grass.
And I may have missed this, but what's the reason that you feel you need to refinance?
For personal reasons. I would like to try to get some money out of it for some upgrades on some other property. And as far as Mr. Barth, when we all got together as a group, he was at our meeting and did, of course we have nothing in writing, but he did let all the homeowners know that he would do whatever he needed to help us, whatever might be required.
I wasn't trying to.
I understand. I don't have a problem. No, it was totally because I would like to refinance it and do some other things in some other areas.
I even discussed with Ken when we started talking about this that if any of the lots, when we created them, if they were smaller than 8,000 square feet, if he'd be willing to deed more property into the association, he said, I'll do whatever I need to help these people out because I know they're having problems. But we didn't have to the way it turned out.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any further questions?
I would make a motion to deny this variance.
I'd second.
Okay. Motion been made and seconded to deny the variance. Motion made by Jack, seconded by Bob. Call for the vote then. Without any. Jack, how would you vote?
Yes.
Bob, how would you vote?
Yes for the motion.
Tom, how would you vote?
Yes for the motion.
David?
Yes for the motion.
And likewise on the chairman. So we do have a denial for the variance request.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
The next case tonight is Richard Robison.
This is the Taney County Board of Adjustment staff report for Richard Robison, dated October 21st, 2009, case number 09-12. This is the public hearing for Richard Robison in the Oliver Township, Section 17, Township 21, Range 21. The applicant is requesting a variance from Table 1 in the Taney County Development Guidance Code. This is a variance from the 2-acre required minimum to place a new business on in Taney County on a septic system. The history is that he is currently operating a business at 2157 Ridgedale Road, and the proposed property contains 1.5 acres. The adjoining properties to the request consist of residential and commercial. The site consists of an undeveloped lot at this time, and if the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves this variance, the following requirements should apply unless revised by the board. Approval to move the existing business to the west side of Ridgedale Road and Horton. All other provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code would be met. Again, this would be a variance to allow him a business on less than a 2-acre tract, and the decision of record should be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. While we're getting to this, this is the piece of property in question that Mr. Robinson wants to use. Mr. Robinson is currently in front of our Planning and Zoning Board, was there Monday night, as a concept with the understanding that he would have to get this variance in place before they could even consider approving this, and is scheduled to come before our board next month with his public hearing. He currently operates the small engine repair that's on Ridgedale Road, and if you've been down Ridgedale Road, you'll see it. It's on the opposite side of the road. Is that right, Mr.
Yes.
Robinson? It is on the opposite side of the road and everything like that, and what he would like to do is move this over here. The diagram that you see here, we've done a lot of research into it, and this road, this does not actually appear like it is. This says that it, the original plat shows this to be 1.64 acres. However, there was some kind of a settlement that the court was involved with, and this piece of the property actually goes back up to here, and so Mr. Robinson actually has this part down here, which is closer to the 1.5 acres as shown on this. For some reason, the county has not put that line in there to show what's going on. But he is asking, and I'll let him get into that, to move his business down onto this. There will be no residence or anything on this site. It will simply be his shop and storage area where he repairs. I believe he does have an employer, too. He has met with the sewer district, and they have approved it for the septic system for the size of business that he would be running on that. But, of course, depending on what questions you might have and get your answers to, it does require a satisfactory okay from you guys before we can allow a business on less than 2 acres, a new business. When he's done with the project, what he actually wants to do is he's a 40 by 60 shop here. We're looking at a storage area back here. I'm guessing would be fenced in a privacy area to store the overflow or the extra units that he might have in place. Some parking, and that's the main issue that he's here for you today is what he perceives as a safety issue where his current location. This would allow him to kind of rectify that situation. But this is just kind of the site diagram of how it would exist if he's allowed to build out there. We can run through a few pictures here. There's not a whole lot to see other than some trees and you know, some things like that. But this is the property that we're looking at. And then I believe we have a video also.
This would be the location of his building in this area.
We can find you a video. This video doesn't take very long because you can see everything from the road. So it's just a 180, so you can have to look fairly quickly. Right across the street from this property is a road that used to go all the way out to Highway 65. And then right down at the end of this property is Gillum Road, I believe is what it is, down there. This is the residence that... where that line went in there, and that is what it does not show up when you pull it up out of the county. Again, gentlemen, this is jumping like that. I'm not really a nervous fellow or anything like that.
I think we need to get a cameraman in the budget.
The building you just saw go past up here is the explosive contractors. It is a commercial operation at this time. And back around, and then this is, of course, Gillum Road, so that would be the other end of the property that he's looking at. Behind him, there used to be a chimney sweep company back in this area back here. It, as my understanding, it's no longer in operation and everything, and a couple of residences. Our concern was that this might possibly landlock some properties, or we were concerned about the easements across the properties, but we have researched that, and it doesn't appear to be any kind of an issue there. And what we found that it would cause any hardship to any of the properties behind. They all do have their access, everything like that. So.
Okay. Are you Mr. Horton or Robinson?
I'm Rick Robinson, small engine doctor.
All right. Let me swear you in, Rick.
Okay.
Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, the help of God.
I do.
Thank you.
I've got the business on Ridgedale Road. It's a half mile further north on the other side of the road, and I'm right on an S corner, and I've got a lot of trailers. I've got, at my current business, I have a place where they can pull through or they can pull on the shoulder, but if they ever pull into my driveway with a trailer, whether they're backing out in traffic, and like I say, I'm on a real dangerous corner there. They drive like 650 to 80 mile an hour through there. I've got tractor trailers, and it's just a terrible place to get in and out of. And I've got more room there. I could put up a bigger building if I wanted, but it's not level. And all the land there that I would have to use, I'd have to make a level one. This acre and a half, it's all level. We've got deep, fertile soil. I got the sewer permit. The dirt checked next to the best as far as putting a septic system with a soil scientist, and it's really a great place for me. Lots of shade, lots of room, just be perfect for my venture, my expansion.
We don't happen to have a existing plan on his existing building, do we?
We can. Dan, can you bring up Beacon? We can give you an overview out of Beacon if that will help you, but as far as a plat for the building, no, sir, okay. I do not.
How many acres do you have on your present property?
With my place, my home's, it's all in my name now, but it's like one was 0.91 and one was 0.43. It was my place and my mom's old place together there. It's a division two is what we did there. We've been there for years.
So you were really grandfathered in?
Yes, sir.
As far as meeting the 2-acre requirement at that time?
At that time, yes, sir.
Okay. For some reason, I thought this property was right across the street.
No, that's down a little bit. Yeah. That's another business there.
That's Braden's contractor, explosive contractor building there.
This is okay. his current location.
So was it a 40 by 60 building you're putting up?
Yes, sir. That's what I'm wanting to put up.
Okay. Would you ever think of it expanding?
Well, it's possible, but I was wanting to get the main building up where I have a good concrete floor, and if I ever put up another building, it would just be something for storage probably. But if I can just get the 20 by 40 fenced in area where I could put in some stuff if I ever needed to, but that's on down the road too.
That's
20 by or 40 by 60 will be more room than I've ever had before, and it'd be great.
With this up, this would be the area where he's saying that people can pull off. And this, of course, would be the driveway where people would have to back up out of there.
That's where I'm at now.
And then this looks to be a ridge here that drops down from that site. On the new site, I'm quite positive that if our board does approve that for business, that they will approve it specifically what he has asked for, with the stipulation that if he ever wants to build another building or anything, that he will have to come back with that request.
And our code doesn't specify that 2 acres has to be residential or commercial or...
It does. The code states that if it's residential or if it's... and it has a separate place for each one of these. If it is a business, it does have to be 2 acres if it's on septic. And that's what we told Mr. Robinson when he first came in, that he would have to get a variance or buy some more property or something to that effect. Our board would not be able to hear that because it does violate an absolute policy.
Right.
That parking area big enough to maneuver a trailer and a pickup?
Yeah, it's got a lot of room. Actually, you could pull straight ahead here instead of the way they're angled toward the building and swing around the building.
The little pointers up there.
Oh, yeah. Better than nothing.
Yeah, we did that last
week. All of this, they could pull straight down. This is just level as can be. Okay. All of this is just level as you could be. You could pull up through here and turn around, or you could go around the building and even come back out if you like.
Okay.
And there's at least over 100 yards both directions here. You can see traffic. That's what concerned me the most, because I don't want to see anybody hurt. And that's...
Have you had any fender benders there before? Where you located now?
There's been a lot of, not with none of my customers, but there's been lots of wrecks over the years. Not as bad since everybody probably knows that used to be Highway 65, and there was wrecks every weekend on that corner that I live on now. Back then, it seemed like every weekend.
Further questions? Entertain a motion.
Move to approve the variance.
Seconded.
Motion been made and seconded to approve the variance request to 1.5 acres. Which a variance of 1/2 acre. Any further discussion? Call for the vote then. Bob, how would you vote?
Yes to the motion.
Tom?
Yes to the motion.
Jack?
Yes to the motion.
David?
Yes to the motion.
And Chairman vote no. So you do have your variance request.
Thank you, sir.
Uh-huh.
So we will see you next month back at PNZ.
I want to make sure we got straight. Everything changed over 2,700. So that's 2,900.
Yeah, she'll get with you.
I went with 9-1-1. And that one notice that I got published in the paper in the morning, it says 29-23. Can I just use that?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Did I miss somebody on the sheet?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Linda. I'm afraid I goofed and went by a signee.
Will we reopen it?
Would you have any comments favorably or opposed to this?
I would want to make a decision without just having some questions answered that are very important to me. He's a friend of mine and longtime neighbor half mile away, and my lawnmower prepared him for years. But I don't want to shoot him or anything, but I really do have some things that need to be
And where do you live in relation to this particular property?
Straight behind it.
Behind it? Where's your entrance?
There's families of people that live there on that property. Okay. I am the RML Chimneys roof that you spoke about. I've lived there for almost 30 years, since 1980.
I think, Mr. Clemens, we probably should go ahead and hear what she says. If you,
yes, we need.
Decision, of course, has not been recorded or anything like that. You can make a motion to rescind that, I believe.
I'd make a motion to rescind.
I would second it.
Okay, motion made and seconded to rescind the motion to approve. David, how would you vote?
Rescind for it.
Tom.
Rescind for it.
Bob?
Yes to the motion.
Jack?
Aye.
Aye also. All right. We'll start this over again then. Excuse me. Pardon me for not looking at my paperwork. Linda, would you come forward and I'll swear you in. When you raise your right hand, you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes, I do.
God, thank you.
Yes, I do.
How do you spell your last name?
L-A-U-R-E-N-T.
All right, Linda. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
As I said, we moved there in 1980, so we've almost been there for 30 years. I've known Rick longer and his family than that. I have no problems with him because he is a friend and he's a good guy. But since we have three families living there, and or even if they're just me, the one issue that I want to first bring up is the view that we have, pardon me, from the back of the the homes. Each one has a living room and two bedrooms on each end of the house. Of both houses face toward the back of the property where he's building at. I'm not sure, but this bottom part that goes down and around is, let's see, there's Horton Drive.
There's a pointer up there, if you'll agree. Okay. It's got a little red button on it. If you push the red button.
Press the red button.
You have to push and hold.
Okay. Horton Road, okay. All right, I'm getting it now. Highway 65. Now,
Horton doesn't go through anymore, gentlemen. That was
right. Right. This was closed off. And
that's the county road 86-100, I believe, or something.
Is this my driveway?
No, ma'am. Your driveway's here.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, okay.
And it goes this. It goes here and back into here.
Okay, I see now. Okay. I'm not good with maps. I never have been. but each of the bedrooms on the houses and the living rooms on the houses will face the back of his property. My son-in-law has been a small engine repairman for 25 years in Harrison, Arkansas, and now he has taken over our business, R&L Chimney Sweeps. My husband passed away in 2001,
And I am, he mentioned, and I was already aware of the fact, that there is lots and lots of remainders of parts of and lawnmowers, massive amounts, actually, you know, of lawnmowers that may be sitting around. I know there's quite a few at Rick's place now, and I realize he needs them because he uses parts off from them sometimes, I suppose. But I am concerned about maybe any unattractive eyesores that I mean, that we have to live there and look at all the time, especially if we're on our front porch swinging and looking over that direction. I'm also concerned about noise levels, maybe at night. At home, I know he can work late if he wants to, and without having lights in anybody's eyes, and probably not a lot of noise. All my uncles and family all live out across the road from him and all throughout there. I just wondered if there would, you know, maybe be a time that he might, that's reasonable to shut down, you know, so that the lights wouldn't be shining maybe. And they may not be up in such a manner that they would go into our bedrooms as we were trying to sleep. But if he needs to work late or something, you know, and the noise level in the daytime wouldn't be any problem. But it might be if he had to work there at night.
Mr. Clemenson, if I could, these are all issues that should be addressed to the planning board next month at the public hearing, because this project is not approved.
Oh.
This board is strictly going to consider a variance request mm-hmm. on this property. They don't approve the project. They don't set the stipulations on fencing or anything like that. That's the other board that would approve the project. And you should have a public hearing notice coming out just any time now because he just went through concept.
Right.
This board strictly is going to look at a variance on this property. So if you have some reason why a variance should not be granted, perhaps it will impede your ability to get into your house or something like that, that's the kind of thing that they should be concerned about. As far as stipulations for the site, it's unsightly, it'll cause a depreciation in your project value or your home values, anything like that. That really needs to be addressed to the planning board. They have the ability to grant the project or not to grant the project, and to put stipulations on the project, such as fencing and everything like that. And that's mm-hmm. dealt with in that particular board.
Yeah, we're not approving him to go out and start building his shop. We're just saying that whichever way we decide, if we decide for, he can bring it to the Planning and Zoning Commission. That's where the approval for the project will be.
Okay. Well, can I ask, I know and it's kind of silly, but I don't know what a variance is. Does that mean a way in and out of my property?
No, our code book states that if you are wanting to start a new business on a parcel that's basically blank now,
mm-hmm.
That the requirements are that it has to be 2 acres in size. As you know, in this area, there's a whole lot of land that is platted that's not 2 acres in size.
Right.
And so he has to get a variance. He has to get something that allows him to continue on to request this project on less than what our code book says. Needs. That's what this board does. They grant a variance from the rule that says 2 acres if they would choose to do so, or they mm-hmm. can choose to say no. You clearly cannot sell him any property because you have 3 residences on 1 acre, and at today's standards, we will not let you put but 1 residence on 2 acres.
Mm-hmm.
So you clearly cannot sell him any property that he can obtain there. If the existence of this business might put you in a place to where you no longer had access to your land and it would landlock it, that would be a concern for us. And that's what we've spent the time to see if that was going to happen.
There's no problem with that.
And we haven't found any problem with that. However, your concerns really should be addressed to the Planning and Zoning Board, which has the right, even though he may get a variance, mm-hmm. they have the right to say, this is not a good fit for this property. And there's our code book does have rules and regulations concerning when a business property or commercial property abuts residential property. As far as screening and stuff like that. Now, does that affect your view? It may. And so that would be the thing to address to them, mm-hmm. see if that something can be mitigated or not. So,
okay.
But they're actually dealing with the variance request where he's saying, I don't have 2 acres, can I put a business on it anyway?
Right. Okay, I'm sure they'll probably send me another notice. I got one this time and I thought it was the one I was supposed to be at.
No, this is for the variance. But I mean, if you have concerns about that,
okay.
But they can't deal with fencing or,
right.
or work hours and everything like that, but the other board does.
I understand. Well, I'd be proud to have him, my neighbor. He's a good man.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, move to accept the variance.
Second.
All right. We have a motion made and seconded to accept the variance request. Any further discussions? Hearing none. Bob, how would you vote?
Yes for the motion.
Tom, how would you vote?
Yes for the motion.
Jack, how would you vote?
Yes.
David?
Aye.
Okay. Chairman, no. But you still have your variance request.
Aye.
Sorry, gentlemen.
Sorry about that.
I didn't know. I just didn't feel like that was what this board should entertain.
So. Thank you. Next case is Hallmark Homes, Inc.
This is the Taney County Board of Adjustment staff report for Hallmark Homes, Inc., dated October 21st, 2009, case number 09-13. This is the public hearing for Hallmark Homes, Incorporated in the Oliver Township, Section 11, Township 21, Range 22. The applicant, Thomas Holman, is requesting a variance from Section 5.3.1 in the Taney County Development Guidance Code. And basically what this states, gentlemen, is that the only sized lot that we can approve as a staff on a replat or a new plat or anything like that is 2 acres or above. What Mr. Holman is actually going to do, the applicant plans to take 12 Oakmont Community existing platted lots and to replat them into 5 individual building sites. So he's going to take 12 lots, turn it into 5, moving closer to conformity, but still these lots would be less than 2 acres, and they are on septic systems, as that whole area is. So I'll finish reading, then I'll update you. The subject property contains 2.659 acres and is located off Paradise Heights Drive. The adjoining properties to the request consist of residential. The site is currently undeveloped. The property is subject to the 2-acre rule for replatted property. Summary, if the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves this variance, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the board. It's an approval to replat 2.659 acres into 5 individual sites. All other provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code will be met, and the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days, or the approval shall expire. What we have up here, of course, as you know, Oakmont, and this is the property that we're talking about here, is this section here. Currently, if Mr. Holman came in and could put a well and a septic and get it situated, he can put one on every one of these lots, and he can put a house on every one of these lots. They're tiny lots, and it causes some problems, but he's come to us and said, can I replat this? The only way I can do that is if he goes to a 2-acre lot. Because my code book says 2 acres, and I don't have a provision if he's moving closer toward conformity. So we've asked Mr. Holman to come and ask for the variance from that request to take 12 lots, turned into 5. Worst case scenario would be 7 less septic systems and bigger lots for the people to live on. So he would be taking this and turning it into that. That's the request that's before you. All other provisions will be met as far as roads and everything like that. There's no issues with any of that. It just provides quite a bit of a larger building size for each home to be on, and would allow for a little larger home to be there also. It is a pretty nice little area down there. So in the homes that are existing now, people have bought several lots and have built. If you own your own lot, 3 or 4 of them, you don't have to be concerned about the interior lot lines. You can build however you want. You just encumber all of those lots so that when you do sell it, you can't sell off the individual lots. You have to sell it as a unit. And he'll just replat if he's allowed to do so and basically do the same thing. Because the configuration of these lots are not such that he could put this house here and this house here and then encumbered, you know, just the necessary lots. It would be a lot more conducive to being replatted. You can see the lot lines don't line up exactly behind each other or anything. So.
The new lines are in pink, yeah?
The new lines will run, yeah, that would be the pink ones there, the red ones. So it virtually touches every one of these lots. All 12 of them are affected. So yeah, he would come in with this plat. It would be a replat. It would show the old lot lines and the new lot lines that are in there.
There's like 10, right?
I think bring it back up, Dan. And I think there's a total of 12. Whether they're all well, my let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, these are owned by the same person. And that's why that lot line, all these lots are the same size. Yes, it looks to be 10, but really there is a lot line that exists there also.
My first thought was, why couldn't he just take the existing lots and combine them into a larger piece with two lots and he wouldn't have to replat?
On this picture, that looks feasible. But on the other picture, they don't line. I mean, the true survey, they do not line up like this. They see how they're all offset.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't believe there's a road platted back here, but I don't believe that road's in. So what he's wanting to do, I believe, is everything to front off of this existing road. So these lots will be deeper, and then this road back here doesn't have to be. Put in, if I'm not mistaken, he can answer that better for you.
Okay.
But it does create a little bit of a problem, you know, in some of the areas of Oakmont. There's roads platted in, but the bulldozer might. I'm not saying this is one of those, but the bulldozer might roll over when you're trying to run it down through there. Sometimes it can get pretty steep. But this is a platted road right here. As you can see, it does not exist. So there would be, if he was to combine these here and these here, somebody would end up having to put that road in there. So we'll get that repaired for before.
Okay.
Sure, these are new.
It's better. We're going to have an accident.
I presume you're Mr. Holmark.
I'm Mr. Holman. Tom
Holman.
Holman. Yep. I didn't sign okay. in, so I didn't know if I could talk.
Well, you sure can.
Okay.
You're the Are you Holmark Holmes?
Yeah. You betcha.
Okay. Well, raise your right hand, and okay. I'll swear you in. You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God.
I do.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And it's Holman, H-O-L-M-A-N.
Yep, Tom Holman. Yeah, we've right. been developing out in that area for a few years.
Okay. Anything you want to add to the request?
No, Eddie really said it pretty well. I'll be honest with you, I was working in my office recutting all this property and had been to the sewer guy. That's what I was more worried about, is getting sewer on that hillside than I was anything. And they said, no problem, if that property was all good to go, if you can perk. But they said, you need to go see Eddie, make sure. And then he said it was the 2-acre rule. I guess it had just got by me. I wasn't aware of that. But we've owned this property for a few years. So, you know, it just made sense to me. I'm going to reduce the density of it and try to make a nice little project there. If it doesn't work for you guys, then I'm just going to have to build more. That's all, and I don't want to do that. I'd like to build a little nicer home with a little nicer project. And we built the end out there. That's another one of our projects out there on the end. See the two big homes.
You've got a pointer up there, Mr. Everything, but he does out here in this area.
Yeah, right there. We developed this property right here, this point, and there's two homes there, and we built down the road. So I'm trying to keep it bigger. These lots will actually be over a half acre going down the hill, mm-hmm. rather than width-wise. And I'm trying to get them up to like 95 feet wide, which is not large by any stretch of the imagination, but we see a lot of lots at 100 feet or so in this part of the world.
I see you live on Amanda Drive Road.
Yeah.
Did you build those cottage-type homes?
Yeah, I built probably 8 or 10 homes down that road. Those first three with the garages, and then there's a little group of small
right.
cottages.
Right.
Then I built a couple homes past there, and then another little development down at the end.
Well, very yeah. nicely done.
Well, thank you. Yep. So they just advised me that I needed to come in front of you guys, and we're trying to make it bigger rather than smaller. Sorry about the drawing.
Had this been on sewer and he'd wanted to replat, we would have just handled a replat in the office.
Yeah.
But because of the septic coming in, that's right. where the rub comes in. For
all
us.
The other developments around, we built sewer treatment plants. But because of this property, and I just don't think I want to go to the DNR this time.
Any questions for Mr. Holden?
Eddie? I have a question for Eddie. In the old days before the 2-acre rule, would one of those size lots with a septic be acceptable?
Yes, sir.
They were all grandfathered in, right?
And they're all grandfathered in such a place that if he, and each one of these will have their own, are you going to do a community well with these or not? Do you know?
Actually, I've got a community well. See where it says well site there on the left?
Yes.
That group of homeowners right there, that association, I put in a community well, which is now good for 2.5 people per residence, up to 10 residences. So I could get, or up to 10 residences, so I can get these five homes on it. So I don't even have to hit another well, so I don't have to worry about the distance to septic on these.
Normally, the limiting factor in this area is if I own a lot and I put my well in this corner and I put my septic up here in this corner, there has to be, I think, 100 feet of separation, which is all fine and dandy because any one of these lots you can do that on. But then my next door neighbor comes in, he's got to have 100 foot of separation between his well and my septic and his septic. So the more you build in there, the harder it gets to do. But with this community well, all 10 or 12 of these lots, he can go in and build a house and put an individual septic system on. And they will perk. And the sewer department will issue the permit for it. And when that happens, we're obligated to issue the permit for the building. So he could, in theory, put 12 homes out there, and you would have the affluent from 12 septic systems.
Yeah. So less is more, or more is less. Or
normally, when you're in a situation like this, and the density is less, we have the right to approve that kind of a thing and that kind of a change. However, I'm kind of bound right now by the thing that says if you're making a new lot on a septic, 2 acres is the minimum.
I was way more concerned about the sewer when I started this. Got my way through that and then ran into this. So.
Good. I'll make a motion to approve.
Motion made to approve the request for the replats.
For the replats.
Second.
Bob seconded it. Any further discussion? Hearing none, call for the vote. David, how would you vote?
Yes.
Bob, how would you vote?
Yes for the motion.
Tom, how would you vote?
Yes.
Jack, how would you vote?
Yes.
Chairman, vote yes also.
Thanks, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Request.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Do good. Yeah. Just do a good job as you've done in the past.
Well, I'm birdie.
Do you fix chairs?
Pardon? You fix chairs?
Yeah, but he'll take well off this one to do it.
That would have been a small engine, I think. Yeah.
Well, actually, I will tell you this. Mark Blackwell was sitting in that chair Monday night, and he broke the wheel off. So I didn't know that anybody knew. So we'll probably just leave it sitting up there so they'll know to fix it, but I'll try to remember to tell them. Yes, sir. We've got some paperwork for you to fill out, but you can go ahead and start getting your plat made if you want. And
okay.
I'll send
you a letter when it's ready.
Okay.
And then when you get that, it'll be recorded. And as soon as it's recorded, we can sign your plat.
Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it.
Any old business that we need to
cover? I have nothing other than if you got just a second, I'll bring you up to speed on Cedar Creek, the air park down there. I don't know if y'all are aware of what's been going on with that or anything.
On the old ranch?
Yes, did some of that come before you guys at one time? Then I suppose I don't really need to tell you, but that has been under stop work order for a while. They are trying to work out something, to get that back on track. So if any of you are in that area or anything and have any interest in it, I'll be glad to share with you what we know.
Is that Triple M? Was it called Triple M before?
It's down near Brass Lantern Resort. It's actually up at Brass Lantern, and it was Someday Ranch was part of it. Mr. Grindley, and then some other people have sold off. But it's right at Brass Lantern Road and Someday Ranch Road out there. and I'm trying to work and get that thing into compliance. It's very well possible that you, in the near future, may see something come before you with some variance requests or different things like that.
Yeah.
Prosecuting attorney does have a case pending against this, but we're all trying to work together as a group to get this resolved. So if you have any questions about that, just call and we'll be glad to share it with you, but it's quite a long story.
Do you want to speak to the zero lot line?
Yes, sir. I gave you that to put another thought into your head. I think the original intention of zero, my perspective, the original intention of zero lot line did not really concern the shared common wall in a duplex or a townhome or whatever the case might be. I think that was a device that was supposed to be used so that instead of having to place your structure right in the middle of your lot and therefore eliminating side yards and everything like that, it was a way to offset everything in that development so that you could have some kind of a yard on a smaller tract of land, my perspective on that. I do have a lot of concerns when we deal with duplexes, and I own half the duplex, and Mr. Clemenson owns half the duplex, and my half of the duplex, the roof is leaking, and it's running in and running my sheetrock. His half of the duplex is fine, and I knock on his door and say, we need a new roof, and he goes, I'm not leaking. I know it's done in other places, and I'm not saying it's something that we shouldn't do here, but a lot of times when you get into these situations where there's a common wall, and I don't think they do it in Taney County, that common wall is quite a bit different than just a regular stud wall with,
right.
There's some dead air space and some different things like that. And that may happen here. I'm not aware. We don't have building codes, so I don't know how we do it. But I'm very concerned. I do know that we did have the Cornerstone development down there that was going bankrupt at one time. She came through with several different requests to this board, and finally ended up with a zero lot line where we split that. Those lots ended up quite a bit smaller than probably half of what we would do for a single family residence. And there's just a lot of things that come into play there. Not that we couldn't address them in our code book, but they're just not addressed. And so, if these people bought not realizing they didn't own it all, I doubt that they've really taken into consideration what are we going to do to fix it.
So much.
And then if I happen to like pastel paints, and I paint my side of the duplex turquoise, or paint over my brick or anything like that, there's just nothing, there's so many possibilities, there's nothing in place, or this becomes my primary residence, and you rent yours out to whoever, or nightly or whatever, and it becomes a weekend house or something like that. There's a lot of things we don't even address, and so I wanted to give you that document to say, in my opinion, that was probably the intention of a zero lot line, was to maximize space in a development so that there could be yards and everything like that. I don't know that it was meant to apply to multifamily unit housing, referring to the common
wall. If you read the definition of it in the code book, it refers to the way I infer it to look like.
Right, and that's why I made that drawing.
But there is a definition for it in our book.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. That's the way I interpret that, and I just wanted y'all to know that's where I'm coming from on that. I sympathize with what's going on with these folks and everything like that, but it's more than just the way this was approved and everything. It's a sign of the economic times, and I can guarantee you that even if we did that, somebody would have concerns because these other issues are not addressed. What's going to happen when the roof leaks? What's going to happen,
if
the pipes in the middle break and flood?
Or 10 years from now when neither one of them own it.
Right.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of research on state statutes on condominiums, and they have obviously failed to do what the bylaws require them to do as far as insurance and insuring the outside of the building. Also, there's probably definitely a question as to whether Mr. Barth is still part of that association.
Yeah.
The only way he could probably not be is if he had specifically stated, or the original declaration specifically stated, that the rest of the condos can or cannot be, shall or shall not, do not have to be built. If that does not have on that plat that they do not have to be built, then he is still part of that association because he hasn't sold the majority of them.
Or yeah, whoever would buy that from him would fall into the same.
Yeah, the developer is the association until yeah, whatever percentage right. they set in the
percent.
And I can almost guarantee you if that property is being sold, it'll probably be sold with the understanding that you can build some more units out here.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I don't know exactly how all those would be accessed. There is enough room to plat other roads and stuff in there if they would so choose to do. But right now, I don't think he would sell it. I didn't think we had the right, first of all, to nullify his approval that Mr. Lake had gotten and that was passed on to Mr. Barth without him being here saying, I willingly do
right.
that.
Yeah, there was no...
Or putting it in writing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Nothing.
So that was one of my concerns because I just felt like if that happened, the next buyer's going to come in and say, I've got the right to build these buildings. And then, you know, we've got a whole new...
Well, her...
Another thing I'm worried about is, I think plans over there, but we'll start seeing more of this come up.
Yeah. We've got so many small places in here, like with this variance that we just granted. I'm afraid you're going to start seeing more and more of those come in. And, you know, I think we just, as long as you adhere to your bylaws and say we're not granting it from privilege, if, you know, he has a concern about safety and everything, and that's probably very well an issue. He did state in his request that he had room to build and everything. So, you know, with that being the case, you would think he could make a parking lot big enough to turn around in or something.
Yeah.
But as long as we adhere to that and see, yeah, that's definitely a safety issue. I don't think we have a problem with that kind of thing, but we're definitely going to have to make sure that this is not, you know, a matter of privilege. I'm pretty sure that our planning board, when they get into that, if they approve it, that he will have to buffer between him and the residential areas. I'm pretty sure they will make him relinquish his right to have a business on that other property, and that grandfathering will go away, and that he'll have to clean all that up, and it will have to be hid behind some sort of a privacy fence. So it's probably a good thing to move that. We would never ever get rid of that grandfathering if we didn't. I don't know that's a bad idea. I don't, and like I say, there seems to be some concern about safety, potential safety of the customers coming out of there. So
between these Oak Park properties and Marion Woods properties and stuff like that, I mean, those lots are so small. What he's doing, trying to compete.
That's a better thing.
You know, I think that's a better thing, yeah. Even though we're. But what worries me about it is there's so much of it.
Yeah. I would love
thousands of acres of them. That
thousands of lots, thousands and thousands of lots like
yeah.
that. And I would love to have the ability to say, as long as the property is moving closer to conformance, that we go ahead and replat. And I think that's probably something in March or February this year that we try to maybe get incorporated into our code book. I hate to have to bring that to you, but I don't have the right to override that. He's not taking from another lot, moving this one closer and moving that one further. That just makes sense to me because, like he says, I can go out there and put 12 small houses and 12 septic systems,
yeah.
and I won't have any problem because I got
yeah.
community well. So that I think that's a good move.
Eddie, with the two-unit situation, Des Moines, Iowa built some of those in the early 80s, and they have requirements for resolving maintenance and that type of thing. And you might want to contact somebody up there.
Okay.
Because
I'm sure I can pull their codes offline and everything and see.
Yeah.
And I will do that. Because we're going to see more and more of
yeah.
this. And right now, you know, it either has to come through as condominium style of ownership, or you have to have 3 acres and you have to own both sides. You can rent them both out, But one owner has to own both sides.
And she is right about going to the bank right now and stuff like that.
I figured you were aware of that because of the villas out there.
Well, my wife also mortgages Bank of America. I mean, I hear daily.
And at first I thought they were just saying that because we're calling them duplexes is why we can't do that. But as it came out, it was more condominium style of ownership, not because I said, well, call them whatever you want to call them. Call them townhomes. I don't care.
The bank side sees it is that being a rental property. Katrina, I was asking her about a primary residence. Yeah. You're more apt to get a loan if it's going to be a primary residence. But they still foresee it as a possibility of a rental property or a secondary.
And he happens to be on the side of the road there that does have the view.
Well, if her mother's condition hadn't changed, there'd
be no problem.
There's no problem.
I'd like to make a motion that we adjourn.
We
have minutes to approve.
We have to
approve the minutes.
I would second that motion to help you out.
Okay.
Have the date of that motion of the minutes.
Yeah, the minutes of.
The last meeting.
September.
I vote to have the minutes. Okay. Well, make a motion to have the minutes of September's BOA meeting approved as is.
Which was on the record was the shortest one we've ever had. I think it was 30 minutes.
And I'm still here tonight.
Yeah, right.
Got a second?
You got a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, we're adjourned.
Hey, gentlemen, while you're leaving, I'll just tell you, we do appreciate you being here. We went through a year or so, a year and a half ago, a really tough time of knowing whether we were going to have a quorum or not. And we appreciate your attendance to these things, and it sure has made things run a lot smoother. Thank you very much.
Yes, echo that.
Now I have one.
Boy, we were sweating it a lot of times because you know we'd have three people, and they have the right with three people. They have the right to say, "I'll come back next time."
What's an air park?
Cedar Creek, Dan, you can turn
separation
it off.
And
you're open.
Yeah. Well, here's the next.